Well, here we are, Jackie. We're just coming up the drive now to Nyland Manor. This is me, Tiggy, a Draycott Diaries, and today we're going to be talking to Rachel, who runs this fabulous house called Nyland Manor. I'm just going to give you a quick description. It's like a massive, well, manor. I can't think of another word to say to it, really. Except it's not an old building, but it's done in the style of sort of French chateau. I think that would be kind of near to it. Because Rachel and her husband Nick, a few years ago, built this as a venue for weddings and functions. So we're just going to go up to the front door now, and hopefully Rachel will be there, and I think she's going to be there with Phoebe, her daughter. And let's see what gets on. Come on, Jackie. Hello, Rachel.
Welcome.
How are you?
Tiggy.
How nice to see
on
you.
On this beautiful day.
It's a fabulous day. Come
yes.
on, Jackie.
Can you come on in?
There we go.
Jackie.
Yeah, she's well. Well, just yeah. come in. Shall we shut this enormous door?
That's lovely, like that.
Is
Thank
it?
You.
Okay, just like that. There we go.
Come in through my...
Right. I'll just take my harness off.
Yeah, come on in.
There we go.
Come on,
Belle. Oh. Hi, Phoebe. How are you? Lovely to see you.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me call today. Oh, I can hear all your dogs in the background.
Yeah, they're safely rampant. Locked away. They're
no, they'll okay. be very excited to see
they
Jackie.
They will. It's like party time.
It is. Now, I just need to tell people about... I've told people a little bit about the outside. And they said it was slightly French chateau-like.
Do you think so? Yeah, it's sort of Georgian.
How would you
Georgian.
Describe it?
I think it's Georgian...
Oh, Georgian.
Yeah, Georgian. Yes.
But it's very big.
It's a big place.
It's
yes.
a very big, and I think many bedrooms.
12 bedrooms.
Wow,
yeah.
Gosh,
yeah.
It is so big. And in the hallway here, I'm looking at a beautiful open fireplace with lots. I mean, we don't need that today, obviously lit, but it was in the winter. That's lovely. There's some gorgeous, comfortable armchairs. And then round here, we've kind of got a minstrel's gallery.
Yes, that's right. We have weddings here in this room, and then sometimes they have a little orchestra up there, or singers, or something. We have a choir standing up the stairs. We have on occasion,
lovely.
So it's a well used room. It's
yes,
lovely entrance.
Oh, it's just beautiful, beautiful. Well, Rachel and Phoebe, if you can bear it, I'd love to just sit down with you and ask you a little bit more about Nyland Manor.
Great.
I gave everybody a little description of your beautiful hallway when I entered, but I'd love, well obviously, first of all, let's tell everybody who we are. Obviously, I've been friends with you, Rachel, for many, many years, and Phoebe, I've known you for a long time, so your mother and daughter,
yeah.
and Nyland Manor, which I know you're going to tell us a bit more about in a minute, is primarily a fabulous house, not that old, but big and beautiful, and it is run, as far as I know, as a family business, and I've come here many times for parties and weddings, to your wedding, Phoebe. So it'd be great to hear from you, Rachel, a little bit of a description of Nyland Manor and what Nyland Manor does today, and also as part of the community of Draycott, because this is very, very much connected.
Yeah, well, it's been built about 2013 we moved in. Okay. But it took about 15 years previous to that to build the property and get it to what it is now.
Why was that? Because I remember when I first moved to the village, I think there were the grounds here.
Yes,
for
yes.
House, but
there was a derelict house here, another new house. It's got no ancient history or anything. So Dad sold some land to a man, Mr. Keller, who managed to build a house. Andy built the lake, a massive lake out there, and filled it with fish. And I think he did try to have flamingos on the lake, but that didn't work, unfortunately.
Did he?
Yes, he did. So he had a private zoo. So he had a lynx, didn't he? A tapiry.
Lynx? So he had some
fairly formidable animals. Yes, yeah, he had... Is it a tapiry?
Tapir.
Tapir.
Parrots.
Parrots, yes. Monkeys.
Yeah.
Chimpanzees.
So this wasn't a private collection, it was going to be a zoo?
No, I think it was his own private collection. It wasn't ever open to the public. It was private. But then something went wrong, and literally overnight, he packed everything up, sold all his animals, and disappeared. And he's never been seen since or heard.
Since. Made the national news.
Made the national news, radio. Thing, yeah.
And he's never been seen since?
Never been seen since.
So, the story I heard, and please tell me if this was wrong, was that he built this house for a lover or something.
Oh.
Because I thought, isn't the lake heart-shaped?
Yes, it is. Yes. We only discovered that with somebody drone. Taking a picture with a drone. Yeah. I've not heard of that, but that it could well be.
Well.
He did have a partner, a friend, but he disappeared. We do get occasional mail come here, post, for
dental
him.
Dental reminders.
Yes, bowel checks and things.
Okay, so did he leave a trail of debts and stuff?
Yes,
behind?
Oh
did
gosh,
he?
Yeah. So he's still being searched for. Dad was able to buy back the property, and then it was flattened, and then we built the
property. How much had he built by that stage?
Well, it was meant to be three stories with a glass dome roof for a telescope, but he didn't get that far.
Two stories, I think it was.
Yeah, two stories high. Mm. And then we knocked it all down and started again.
Okay. So just so that I can give this visual context, how big is this property? I mean, how many bedrooms and bathrooms and loos, and what is the area of land that it stands in?
Well, it's 12 bedrooms... 12 bathrooms.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of the actual size.
We live in the half of the house. But the guests can have they can have come and go as they please. Where we've got the guest rooms, it was a stable block. It was meant to be stables for whatever animals he wanted.
Because it's got a rather jaunty sort of black and white tile floor,
like
hasn't it?
Alice in Wonderland sort
that's
of thing.
Alice
yes.
in Wonderland that.
Yes, yes. So we loved decorating it. We spent a year. We moved in 2013. Mm. We spent a year going to auctions and sales and buying furniture, decorating.
Making curtains.
Making curtains and just generally having a lovely time
decorating.
So it was good.
And when I came here for my 60th birthday party and had the best night of my life, and thank you, beautifully organised by you, yourself. I remember, because a lot of my guests stayed here too, all the rooms seemed to be bird-themed.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
Where did that come from? Why bird-themed? Who had that idea?
We didn't know what to call the rooms. We wanted something a bit quirky, so we thought, well, as there's water lakes, we thought we'll go with the water bird theme. So we...
Had a bit of fun researching.
Yes, looked it all up.
Names.
And is it right that the bridal suite is the shag?
We did contemplate the shag room, yes. But we changed it to the swan. Yes.
That was very subtle. Can I also tell you from a blind woman's perspective, the worst thing you can do is have clever names on doors. I spend my life now trying to go into loos that have Monsieur, Madame, Doe, or Buck. I mean, for a blind person, what the hell is that?
I mean,
we're just trying to feel for a number, and you guys are having a brilliant time working out witty numbers. So I'm just punching that out for the disabled.
Okay, we'll remember that.
But I thank you for letting me have the shag suite on my birthday. It was a memorable experience for all the right reasons. So Phoebe, you had done a training course as a wedding planner, is that correct?
When I finished my A-levels, I did an online course because I was really interested in it. And it was always in the pipeline for us to start this business.
Okay.
So it was kind of getting ready for that. And then I got a job at Stoneaston Park and in reception, and then worked my way up to do the weddings there. So I was there for 7 years, which was a great experience. We got loads of information from there to build this business and ideas and that.
Have they been supportive?
Yeah, they were really, really good.
Which is
really
good because you
fun place to work.
Competitor, aren't you?
Yeah. And then I came over to here when Mum and Nick were ready to start it. I came over
and that was 2013.
That's when we opened properly. Yeah.
Okay. And was that when it was literally ready to go?
Our first wedding was April 2014.
Nat and Kai's wedding,
Yeah. That was our first wedding, September, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So it took a good 9 months to get everything, rolling. And looking back now, we're thinking, God, what a mess we must have been, because it was just like
so much more landscape now.
And you were still living here.
We lived here then,
And did it up around you.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
But Rachel, you were saying to me, I think when we were on Christmas do recently, that you were cutting back a bit on weddings.
Yes, yeah.
Trying to push forward more with the B&B.
Yes.
And parties.
Well, it's just getting that work-life balance really, and just not being a slave to it.
Yeah. Which take we over felt, the whole. Yeah. I mean, the whole. Week is a week of preparations and setting up, and then you've got the day, which is a really long day, and the Sunday where you're packing everything up.
Yeah.
And
couldn't do it every week.
No. So it's a lot of work, and we haven't got a huge team of people, a very small number of staff.
But that's great, because they're all from the local community,
yes,
aren't they?
They're lovely.
Yeah, we've got a really nice
Coral
team.
Yeah, Coral's great, and Deb's great.
She's married to the postman.
Coral's married to the postman, yeah. And she's great. Yeah, she does have a...
So, Phoebe, I'm probably going to ask you this one. What is the worst diva bride you've ever had?
That's a tough one.
Why? Because there's so many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brides have become quite demanding in the last few years.
They
are. I mean, they are lovely. They all start out lovely, but the pressure of the day gets to most of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone wants a piece of it. You know, they want to... do the flowers, auntie's doing the cake, and it's a lot of pressure. Definitely.
It's a lot of pressure for everybody, it seems, because you know that it's going to be the most important day of their life. Mm. Obviously they know that. So it's putting everybody under pressure.
I mean, we have enjoyed quite a few of them, haven't we?
Yeah.
One particular, they insisted on bringing their Labradoodle, and it was the wettest day in June ever, wasn't it? Black skies.
Yeah.
And it was mud everywhere, and they were just allowing the dog to run on the sofas. The swan room was completely...
all over the bed.
Yeah.
Did they apologise?
No.
That was a bit of an awkward ending, that one.
But there we go. But they enjoyed the day.
And Phoebe, you had your wedding here, didn't you?
That's lovely.
It was really lovely.
4 years ago?
Yeah, April. So that was a bit of a... I think it was... It rained in the morning.
A bit like this today,
it was
isn't it?
Windy,
cold,
but it was sunny in the afternoon.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
It was lovely.
I'd love to do it all again.
In the local church, you got married, didn't you?
So would I, because the food was lovely.
The food was great,
It's the only place I've ever been where, I think it seems to be so sensible. It got to about, I don't know, we've been dancing and all that. You know, everybody's that kind of stage of the evening where you've all had lots of drink. And then suddenly, these really neat little boxes of...
bowls of... chili and stroganoff,
That was inspired, because it just gave you enough energy to carry on.
Yes, that's right.
No wonder you're sick of weddings, people must never go.
There's not one wedding the same. Everybody is all different.
Got a different priority. Yeah. Everyone's got a different motive.
Well, let's dig a little bit deeper here. I'm going to be really naughty and say, have you ever had any, shall we say, tricky guests, for example, staying in the B&B section?
Yes, our first year, like I said, first year, looking back, we'd never done anything like this before. I was a district nurse, so I'd never done anything like this before. Always liked cooking, so that wasn't a problem. But it was just dealing with people and, 99% of them are lovely, but you do get the odd one. And
go on, tell us.
We had one lady who was on her hands and knees in the bathroom saying that the floor was dirty when it was just a bit of grout, grout, that was stuck on the tile.
Yeah, and her poor husband was like dying in the background.
She demanded that we came in and looked at this.
Yes, got me down. Yes, yeah.
Why do you think, I mean, was she trying to get a freebie? What
yes, probably. Some people just out to complain.
You can tell them a mile off when they check in, they're going to be a difficult guest.
Yeah, and the trouble with nowadays, they talk about it on the internet, TripAdvisor and everything.
Egg each other on a bit.
Yeah, so, although we get loads of really good feedback, the odd one, and it completely wrecks me when I hear something that's probably not quite right. And I'm just floored by it, whereas I should be focusing on all the lovely comments, but you've only just got to have one saying that,
They complained that we didn't have a carpet in the bedroom.
Yes.
We had
wooden flooring.
Even though it's underfloor heated, it's not like a cold tile or anything.
Yes,
they were very disappointed.
Yes, gosh, they were pleasant.
If people could see how sumptuous this house is, they'd understand how ridiculous that statement
yeah.
was.
Yeah.
But didn't you say, because I know that you you do other things here, like the Christmas fair.
Yes,
They're different things here as well. But you used to do yoga.
We had yoga here.
Didn't you say something strange happened?
We were all here having our yoga session, and the dog started barking. It was in the winter, and it was dark.
Because you are sort of in the middle of nowhere.
Yes, middle of nowhere. You have to come off the beaten track to find us. And just as I went to the door, I could see this young lady at the door. Ginger, lovely ginger hair in plaits with a stuffed pheasant on her shoulder.
As you would.
And, lovely furry walking boots and rucksack, tartan dress. I can see her now.
Yeah.
Tartan dress. And she was walking the Mendip way.
And in the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night,
with plaits.
And she was obviously transgender.
Oh.
So, yeah. So she came and stayed the night, and she was the only one in. Nick was away, so I was here on my own with her. So I was gosh. But anyway, we had to throw all the bed linen away because of the makeup. So that was unfortunately, But and she wasn't very pleasant. She wasn't the nicest.
Didn't you have a sort of slight, let's say, disagreement about how you addressed her?
Yes, I don't know where she got it from because I was on my own, so she thought I was talking to somebody in the kitchen and calling her a him.
Referred to her as a man.
Yes, but I'm sure she's just had a massive chip on her shoulder, on the other shoulder to the pheasant.
Oh, to the other shoulder. Yeah. Yes, you don't want to have the chip on the same side
not
as the pheasant.
As the pheasant, no.
Then you'd be in trouble. But that's quite an important point, actually, because, I know you're married to Nick and it is your business and Phoebe's come to run it with you. But a lot of the time here, Rachel, it's a big house and it could be just you and the dogs
yes,
and stuff.
Yeah.
So imagine people knocking on the door at the night. Because if you've got a baby, you're kind of open all hours.
Yes, exactly.
And phoning. They phone all hours.
Yeah, has
all
that
hours.
Ever felt threatening?
I did feel a bit uneasy with that lady in the house because she was sort of, quite agitated. Yeah. But I can lock the doors. So I can lock the doors to the bed and breakfast end so that, they can't come through to us. Mm. Especially if I'm on my own.
And is it difficult as a family? Because I know, Phoebe, you're married with two children. You live actually in the village, really close to me. But you live here with your family, Rachel, upstairs. And is that difficult, sort of living where you're working?
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind because I can close out. If we want some time or we go on holiday, we can close and there's no one around. And I don't mind because it's such a big place. They're not on top of you, so it's not like they're sitting in your living room or. So they've got their own lounge.
Yes. I think the hardest thing is when we have the weddings that you feel like that because they just feel like they're entitled to go anywhere.
Yes.
And trying the doors and just seeing where they can.
And coming
how far
into
they
the
can
kitchen.
Get.
Yeah.
That does feel a bit.
I mean, the boys have adapted really well. I've got two boys, Sam and Joe.
Okay.
Joe is 16, so he was 40. 12 when we came here, gosh. And they don't seem to mind. They're not keen when we have a lot of music of an evening, but it's not every night or every week even.
And Sam is a farmer now.
Sam has the farm here.
Because your father, Ashley,
is
a farmer,
isn't
he?
Yes,
So he and Sam now work together, is that right?
Yes, they do,
And also you run here every week. Massive car boot sale, don't
yeah.
you?
Yeah, yeah. It's been a great thing for us, hasn't it?
It's 23 years this year.
Yeah, it is, 23
and
years.
And in the summer, it is absolutely rampant. Is it one of the biggest in the West Country?
Well, they used to say that, yeah. On a good day, it's amazing, yeah.
A lot of the other smaller car boots compare them, they're always compared to Cheddar, I think. Because we're so established, I think that's part of it.
Yeah,
so it's quite an extended family, isn't it? It's
because
obviously Ashley's your father, he owns quite a lot of land, we've got the Nyland Manor, and then the lovely intertwine of Draycott. But Draycott Diaries is all very much about community. I mean, I love our community. For me, especially with a disability, I find it very supportive, but without being too in your face. But I think, if we're all honest, community can be fantastically bonding, and sometimes it can be. It can feel intrusive, but I think, Draycott, we're pretty good at it. But one of the things I'm interested in is that I know you have got another business, which is a sort of a wing of the other stuff we've been talking about, which is strawberry. Is it strawberry tots?
Yeah.
Now, would you tell me a little bit about strawberry tots? Because the reason that I'm connecting it to community, because if I remember rightly, Rachel, you'd had a baby.
Yes, yeah.
And you were in your early 40s?
I was 40 when I had him, which was lovely.
Oh.
But I was worried that I was going to be the only older mum. Mm-hmm. But in actual fact, it turned out that most of Joe's little mates' mums were older. Mm. And one girl, Sue, I went to school with, and she had Toby. So we thought about getting a group together.
Because you lived in the country,
yes,
there is, yeah, on your doorstep, there are not creches or stuff.
No,
there,
no,
so you were feeling a bit at sea,
yeah,
soon,
let's
you?
Get together and have a group, because we've got a lovely village hall, which lends itself to children running around and having fun. So we set up a group, and we had about 10 or 12 mums come along with their children and babies, and it was great. And then as it's different people have taken it over, and then Phoebe has taken it over now.
So you run it now, Phoebe?
I run it, yeah. When Bea, my little girl, was about 4 months old, I decided to start it again. So it kind of petered out for a little bit, a few years. And all the toys were kept from when Mum had it, kept under the stage at the hall. And I thought, may as well give it a go. So me and a group of mums that I met at the postnatal group that the NHS run started it off. And yeah, it's evolved over, it'll be 4 years soon. And
how many has it grown in numbers?
Yeah, it's huge. We have on average about 35 mums, or families, should I say, grannies, dads, carers coming along each week, and we've got 230 people on the books.
Wow. So that has grown from your time,
10.
Just you and a couple of other mothers,
yeah,
wanting to have a
get together.
It's grown to the heart.
Yeah.
Which just shows, doesn't it, that in rural communities... Mm.
It's a bit of a lifeline. A lot of people have said it's been a lifeline just to have an excuse to get out the house. Mm. It's every Wednesday throughout the year, so even in the holidays, because a lot of groups close in the holidays for schools, but we carry on running. It's just a really lovely space for us to thrash out our worries and have a coffee and see the kids run around, and we do different events throughout the year there, and we have a travelling theatre company come and parties, Halloween events and crafts and that kind of thing. And on a nice day we can go out and on the playing field and to the park afterwards and have a picnic lunch, which is really nice.
It's interesting because I'm hearing it's not just about, I mean obviously the children's a primary thing, but it obviously is a wonderful open space for, as you said, for people again who possibly live in places where things aren't on our doorstep to actually be able to get together.
Yeah, we run alongside the Pilates group there, so all the kids pressing their faces up against the window of the Pilates. It's quite funny. The ladies are trying to be serious. They've got their noses up against glass. It's quite sweet.
Well, actually, the Memorial Hall, Draycott Memorial Hall, is so well used.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's
quite hard
really
to get in there now.
Yeah.
There's
because you're also, Rachel, you're involved with Mend It Players, aren't
yes,
you?
Yes, Mend It
Now,
Players.
Mend It Players, that, I'm hoping to go and have a cup of tea with a couple of the members of it,
yeah,
in a couple of weeks, actually. But you've been on
Yeah,
Mend
we were
Players
there
from the
right from the beginning. We went along to the first meeting when...
David Cheatham.
Cheatham, that's right, Mr. Cheatham.
Yes, I think it's David.
Yes, yes, all right. He set it up. He came to the village and set it
well,
up, which was great.
When you say it, it's an amateur dramatic.
It is,
group,
yeah,
isn't it?
But really good. They've won awards.
Have
they? They've just won awards for the pantomimes and things.
And they've got a youth department now.
Yes, they've got
nice.
A youth group. Phoebe and I do the makeup, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Sorry, Rachel. I'm just saying Rachel's pointing.
No, sorry. I thought. Jackie was, she's just had a bath in the lake.
Oh, that's,
right?
Did you mind?
No, that's fine. But there's another black lab I've just seen over there, so I thought it might have been her, but it can't
be. Yeah, she's down there.
Yeah, she's just
so sorry. My guide dog has decided just to go for a swim. In a beautiful heart shape. Well, we're in the heart shape, beautiful lake that my Labrador is probably just destroyed. I remember you saying, which I love, is that this, sorry, we'll go back to Mend It Players, but that naughty man who went bankrupt, who kind of left everybody and his animals and departed. Did he not leave a terrapin in your lake is now big enough to eat a man?
I love village rumours.
Well,
he's grown and grown. He's very hard to see, but he is down there. He is in the lake, yeah. Comes and hopefully he survived the winter.
Does he come up like a sudden alien in the light, rises yeah. from the lake?
Bubbling.
I'm sure he does, yeah.
Have you seen him recently?
I haven't seen him yet this season, but I will see him down there, yeah.
Because you were going to also think about, because I go wild swimming, not a wise thing for a blind woman to do, but hey-ho, you know, you might as well go for it. I can't see what's going on, so
exactly.
It's fine.
Probably
it doesn't matter where I swim. You were thinking, Emma, you might do wild swimming your lake. You said I could go wild swimming.
Yes, I'd love to. Well, we have had the people out to look at changing it into a swimming pond, but it is a mega.
Yes, she is.
She's soaking wet.
I'm sorry.
She's
loved it. Is that all right?
She's had a lovely morning.
She's not muddy, is she?
No, she's fine.
Don't worry. I'm so sorry.
She looks gorgeous.
I think we're going to be doing a bit of clearing
she
up.
She might smell.
She's very wet. But just rather near your white sofa.
Don't worry.
Are you sure?
It's fine.
Okay.
She's fine. It would be lovely. It'd be lovely, but that's probably in the future that we'll have wild swimming.
Okay. Have you still got your llamas? Because you did.
No, we haven't got llamas anymore.
No, they've gone on.
To another
home.
Yes, yes.
Oh, that's a shame. Yes. So coming back to Mendip Players. So you were Mendip Players, which is the local amateur dramatic company, which was started at what?
10 years?
No,
more than that.
15.
Oh gosh, is it?
Yeah,
gosh.
Oh,
probably
15. Right from the beginning. You were in a play, weren't you? And I have been in a play, Garlic and Lavender. That was great. But then we've gone on to do the makeup, which we love. Yeah.
It's really nice being involved in seeing it all come together.
Yes, but not having
pressure.
Yeah, we're not having weekly lines to learn. So.
And are you involved in any of the casting?
No.
So do you think behind closed doors there are people sort of banging each other in the head with scripts because they need to be Snow White?
I think that there is a bit of that in every amateur
that.
Trip, because that's the way they are, isn't it?
Yeah. But they're really
love
good.
It.
I mean,
they're amazing.
I've been to many.
Yeah,
they're really, really good. So just thinking about community now, would you say, I mean, I'm taking it from the sort of the start of Nylan Manor. I ask everybody this question. It's quite interesting. And what to you would be, since you started the business, the highest point? What would be the lowest point? Let's start with the lowest point first.
The lowest point is the hard work. It's just relentless. You know, you people think, start a B&B in the country, it's going to be lovely. It's just relentless because you've got people all the time. You have to be on your best behaviour. If you're having a row, you have to do it through gritted teeth. Or write notes to each other. You're just on your guard all the time, and you're on your guard about the cleanliness of the place, what food you're serving, just trying to get it right. And I think we've got it right now, haven't we?
Is it because you both feel that people are going to make judgment, and as you said, put it on new media, so you're always kind of feeling a little bit...
Yeah. And you want to give them a good stay. Yeah,
it's
you want to give
standards.
Them. Yes, that's right. We have high standards, and we like to think that that's what we give people. They're here for a breakaway, and 99% of the people are lovely. And
so, the highest moment.
Your wedding was lovely. Having the grandchildren here, letting them enjoy the space, and
the gardens. It's nice to see the gardens
lovely.
Evolving.
Birds are singing, and
we enjoy the Christmas fair, don't we?
Christmas
fair
is lovely.
Fun.
Christmas here is lovely.
So the Christmas fair is really built up of people, crafters, really
from
the area, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
We've been
so well supported by local people from Draycott. We had a lovely party for Nettie a couple of weeks ago, her 60th, and we had like a 1920s with a band and.
Vintage afternoon tea,
yeah.
And you also have wakes here too.
So we go through the whole hatches, dispatches. Mm. Yeah, we have christenings, we have wakes. Yeah. So.
And Christmas here is just
lovely.
You go into that hallway and you have a massive tree.
Yeah, it's lovely. Christmas is lovely here. But summer, if we get good weather, summer is fab.
So we're lucky enough to be in a spring day, and it's 2019. What about the future for Nylan Manor?
Yes, well, we'll carry it on for the time being. I don't know how long I'll be able to keep up the pace, but Phoebe might take it over with
her
family.
Is that the idea, Phoebe, that you would carry it on?
Possibly, maybe.
She can wheel me in into the kitchen. Indeed. In my bath chair.
With your bottle of gin.
Yes.
Secured.
Rocking.
Drip.
It's rocking.
No, we
quite like to have lodges, not lodges, yeah, but like a shepherd's hut or something.
Yes,
like that.
I'd love a shepherd's hut. Yeah,
well, we'd like a spa. Could live in for a guest.
Well, maybe, yes. Yeah. We'd love a spa, wouldn't we? That is something that we would like to do, a spa.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Treatment
I'd like
rooms.
Treatment,
and,
yeah.
We've looked into a swimming pool, lots of things that we aspire to.
Yeah, yeah. It's evolving. It's evolving.
Well, all I can say is thank you both so much. First of all, for making me and Jackie feel so welcome. And thank you for being my friends for so many years.
Thank you. You've been a marvellous friend to us.
Oh, that's very kind. Well, and thank you for supporting Draycott Diaries, because, as I said, I want to try and give an account of how we live out here, because I'm really proud of all of us. I know we have our down times, but I think we're all pretty good. So. Yeah. Thank you very, very indeed. And again, apologies for my Labrador, who's now soaking wet. I'm coming out of your beautiful room.
She's
been going,
it.
As I said, sniffing around your beautiful white sofa.
You have been listening to Draycott Diaries, recorded by me, Tiggy Trethowan. The editor was Rob Elliott, and the music arranged by Hugh Trethowan.